if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Proverbs. We're continuing our series in Proverbs. Right on cue, the lower stop. I gotta tell you, Maddie and Alex, I wish I kind of noticed you guys before, because you would have been my props for my children's sermon. You know, I think Jan was kind of talking about this with the kids at Open Gym, but you know how we're identified as Christians. You know, right away I look at them and I see, boy, they're on the same team. You know, and how do people do that to us as Christians? Well, it's through love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and unity of spirit that we wear that uniform that's our testimony to the world. In Proverbs, we're talking about not teammates, but friendship this morning. We're looking at Proverbs that deal with friendship. And we're going to kind of cover the topic looking at a lot of different sections of the book of Proverbs. And we want to know how to be able to choose good friends, and we want to know how to be able to be good friends. Both of those are important. The whole concept of friendship all begins with God. That He is three persons: God the Father, God the Spirit, and the Son. The three members of the Trinity, or the Triunity. That God is in community with Himself. One way to explain it would be a perfect friendship. And this differs from the God of other religions, where there's a God who is lonely and wanted a friend, and so, you know, created people because He was lonely. The God of the Bible, of our Bible, wasn't lonely. He had a perfect relational status with Himself and His Trinitarian nature. But the first thing that God says is not good in His Word. In Genesis 2:18, He says it is not good that we're alone. It's not good for us to be alone. But God wants us to be in community because that's how He is. And we're in His image. We're like Him. I want to start off with a definition of friendship. This is not my definition. I got this from another pastor. But I think this is a good thing for looking at. Hey, is this person really my friend? Or am I really being a friend to this other person? It says that a friend is a trustworthy peer with whom we mutually choose to lovingly live by seeking unique access and service for God's glory and our mutual good. And I know it's kind of a long definition for friend, but I thought it was a good one. It says a friend is trustworthy. It's somebody that you can trust. You can confide in them, and it's not going to be, okay, now it's to this person, now it's to that person, and everything you tell them ends up, you know, online somewhere. Somebody you can trust. A trustworthy peer. It'd be somebody that's at the same life stage as you. Because we have different relationships. There's a, you know, teacher-student relationship, or parent-child relationship, kind of coach-player relationship, where one person's in authority over another. But it's not that peer relationship. Or even spiritual peers, you know, where one person has been walking with God for a long time. But a peer relationship. Trustworthy peer with whom we mutually choose. I don't know if you've ever run into this. Sometimes somebody chooses you as a friend, but you don't choose them. And they're like, oh, come on, hey, buddy. Okay, I mean, I know you. I remember your name, but I don't know if we're buddies, but I can't tell you that because it's going to really hurt your feelings and you're going to be crushed. You know, we have people that we have coworkers, and we have classmates, and we have neighbors. And they're not necessarily friends. They're people that you don't choose to do life together. Like, you know, your high school yearbook, you might take that out and read from somebody, oh, you're my best friend, you're going to be my best friend forever, and you're reading it like 20, whatever it would years later be for me, 25 years later. 25, actually last night was my 25-year reunion. It went on down in North Carolina without me. Yeah, you can, sure, applaud that. But it happened. But you read in your yearbook, best friend forever, and you're like, I'm not sure who that person was that even wrote that. And, you know, school might put you together, work puts you together with people, but there might be no intentionality of choosing. So, friend, trustworthy peer whom we mutually choose to lovingly to love, choose to lovingly live by seeking unique access. A friend is somebody you can call on anytime. A friend is somebody you can do the pop in. A friend is somebody you can drop by. A friend is somebody that has access to you, to, you know, has your cell phone, has your email or whatever, you know, ways that you give for people to get in contact with you. So they have this unique access in service. Access and service. You know, you're going to go above and beyond for a friend. You're going to go above and beyond for a friend. It's what you call the "hey, I'm moving" test, right, of friendship. And you kind of, you know, the person that's on the other end of the big heavy couch, that's your friend, okay? They're gonna show up. And then, okay, unique access and service for God's glory. And the point of a real friendship is God will be glorified. You know, the buddy that you go out with all the time that you always end up in trouble might not be your friend, might just be an acquaintance. The guy or girl that you run around with doing things that you shouldn't might be an acquaintance, not a real friend. So for God's glory and our mutual good, your goal is to be good for them, and their goal is to be good for you, back and forth. It's this mutual relationship where you're seeking the good of the other one. So why do we have to, definition of friendship, why do we have to have this? Friendship, that word just gets kind of thrown around. It's a very, a word that gets used a lot, but in a serious manner in the Bible. We don't have too many true friends. I have, I don't even know, but I'm going to guess, I think it's like 200 friends on Facebook. That word gets used like really casually, and it's hard. Because when you call somebody a friend, and then they don't get the access and the service and all the things you think true friendship involves, and the attention from you that they want, then they get disappointed. You have family members, you have coworkers, you have neighbors, classmates, people you serve in ministry with. You can have extended acquaintances. You know, this is your buddy's buddy. And they're not all friendships. And when we call them friendships, it muddies the water. Because, you know, now there's these big expectations that people have of us, and then we can't fulfill them and they get disappointed. But two things I want to stress this morning. One, we want to be a good friend. We'll talk about that, about being a good friend, and how to choose a good friend. Okay? Because some friends can have friends who, people who just use them. I mean, this can happen in high school a lot. In high school, and you want to be part of a group, and so you put up with a lot of stuff, and you make a lot of effort and investment, but they never invest in you. So some of you can probably think of somebody right now that you're really good friends to, but maybe they're not a good friend to you. And it maybe feels like they're kind of using you. Sometimes you have what we call a friend shift. You know, you're friends, and then something happens in life. You're both single, and now one of you gets married, and so now you can't go out and do this stuff together that you did anymore because there's this shift in time priority. Or you're married and they're married and then you become pregnant. And now you're married with a child and a friend, I mean a child and a family, and you can't go out with the girls and do the things that you're doing anymore. So those shifts can be kind of painful, but when there's no communication or no understanding when those shifts occur, it can be even more painful because there's disappointment on the side of one person who's still playing by the old rules. You know, the way things used to be. You know, we used to be college roommates together, but now we live in different states and it doesn't always work the way it once did. You know, maybe you move away, or you leave the state or country. You know, we just can't keep up like we used to. You know, I know when we left, we moved here from Ballardville. There's a lot of, you know, friendships that we just naturally, you know, parents of other, you know, of our kids or our kids' friends, and there's a lot of relationships that we just can't maintain like we did before because we had a shift. You know, we moved away. You have one personal relationship that kind of walks away from God. And this is people, again, it's not talking about people that become your enemies, but it's like, I can't go to you for counsel anymore because we're doing life differently. You have a business deal go bad between two people. Or there's an unforgiven sin between people. And those things aren't talked about. And this is really helpful for us to learn about, especially when we're younger. Especially for you guys who are high school age, younger, how to be a friend and how to select a friend. And it's important for everyone, but really important when you're younger, because like, okay, who are you going to be influenced by? Who are the people that are going to be speaking into your life? Who is it you're going to be able to confide in? All this can be really important. So now we're going to look at what Proverbs says about friends. First of all, Proverbs speaks really highly of a godly friend. So Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. And everybody has friends or companions, and they're the companions who bring help or cause harm. People that are in it for your good, for God's good, who give you that access to their life and service, they're wise. And they give, they're wise, they give wise counsel. If you choose wise friends, you're going to grow in wisdom. And it says if you choose foolish friends, you'll suffer harm. Now I want to stop here and say, I'm not talking about here is what these are like evangelistic relationships. Like I'm going to intentionally, build a bridge. I'm going to intentionally reach out to this person to be an influence for good in their life. We're talking about those reciprocal back and forth relationships. Proverbs goes on to talk about fake friends. It says there are real friends and there are fake friends. The problem with fake friends is you don't know they're a fake friend until it's too late. Proverbs 19:4 says, wealth attracts many friends, but even the closest friend of a poor person deserts them. Just saying, the more money you make, the more people are going to want to be your friend. You get a raise, or you get moved into management. All right, now you can hire people, or you own a company, and people want to be your friend, and people want to hang out with you, and people want to buddy up with you. But in a lot of ways, it's not your real friends. There can be people that are just using you, because what they can get from you. Proverbs 19:6 says, many curry favor with a ruler, and everyone is the friend of one who gives gifts. So what? Some of you are really generous. You're generous with your time. You're generous with your money, with your serving. You're generous. But you also need to be discerning, because there's those that can take advantage of you. Or they're going to dump responsibilities on you that they should be carrying on their own. Now, what I'm not saying here is that you shouldn't be generous. But you need to be discerning, that you're not being used. As long as you're giving out gifts, you're going to find a line of people waiting to take them from you. When we went to Honduras and some of the missions trips, we'd go out and we would take a bunch of gifts on purpose as a way of reaching out people, and they kind of knew it. You'd bring out and you'd come and you'd have the different suitcase every day, and they would know. And you became the most popular person on the planet for the 10 minutes that you were there. But just don't get taken advantage of. There are people that are good at that and might not be out for your best interest. If you're single, this applies to how you handle dating relationships. The other person can see you as very kind and very giving and very generous, but maybe they're abusive of that kindness and you can get taken advantage of. And I really, hate to say some of the things. You think of a sermon like on friendship would be a little bit more chipper at this point, but this is what Proverbs talked about. And if you're naive in these things, you'll really waste time on things that don't build life into you, but they drain it from you. So keeping with this upbeat theme, let's go to sinful friends. All right, fun. It says a perverse person stirs up conflict. A gossip separates close friends. And this is saying, we're not talking about acquaintances, we're not talking about companions, we're trying to use the biblical word of friend here. It says, don't pick someone who's dishonest as a friend. They're dishonest with their business. They're dishonest with their spouse. They're dishonest with their counselor, or whoever they talk to. If they're not a truth teller, it says you'll get yourself into a lot of damage. And then it says, and a gossip separates close friends. You know, every time you tell somebody something, they tell it to somebody else. The Bible actually has a term for this. It's called, it says busybodies. It's called busybodies. They want to know everybody's business. They always want more information, but it's not for your own, because they love you and they want to help you. It's because they're doing this with lots of people. And then they get the information, and then they just kind of shift the information around between people. It's called being busybodies. Beware of people that come up to you and want to gossip about somebody else, because they're doing the same thing to you. Some of you have the people that are always focused on the focus of relational drama in your life. They'll take what you say, twist it a little bit, tell it to seven other people. Now their noses are bent out of joint, and those people have no idea what was originally said, how it was said, the context of what it was said, the intent of it. And, you know, it's just the people that kind of light the match and throw it. And they, oh, I don't know how we got this forest fire. I don't know what happened here. You know, people come back and say, I don't know why everybody's so mad. But, you know, it's always seen the center of drama. Proverbs 17:9 says, whoever would foster love covers over an offense, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. Now, all right, so we aren't to cover up sin and just turn a blind eye and say it doesn't happen. But once in a while, you have to give people a mulligan. You can't constantly be nailing people on everything, like, okay, you did this, you did this, you did this. I mean, that's not a friendship, that's an interrogation. Occasionally, you have to let stuff go. You know, is this something I need them to confront them on or not? I mean, sometimes people are just having a really, really bad day. I mean, you know, imagine a guy who, you know, you can, you know, lose a loved one and have your car wrecked and lose your job and then come home and be grumpy. And if your wife says, oh, look, you're being grumpy, I need to confront you on that. Maybe not right then. You know, you don't need to do that. Maybe you can let that go. Maybe, you know, sometimes you got to give people a little bit of grace. You know, imagine somebody in that situation is grumpy. I'm grumpy at times when I haven't lost anything. Sometimes we just got to give people a little bit of grace. You probably notice this even raising kids, right? When they haven't slept, you know, especially when they're young. I mean, they're just, you know, sometimes you can just try and reason with them, you know, and say, boy, they're having a hard time obeying. Sometimes that, rather than reasoning with them and explaining why what they're doing is wrong, they just need to go to bed, right? They just need to go to bed. They just need a nap. They don't need to be rebuked, and they don't need a lecture. They just need a nap. Well, sometimes a friend is like that. A good friend is like that. You know, they notice. They notice you're tired. You've really had a bad day, a long day. You need a nap. You know, you haven't taken a day off, and I don't know how long. You're fried. You're going through a really hard time right now, and you're grumpy. But a really good friend says, you know what, I'm going to hang in there with you because I love you, and you're my friend. A good friend is one that hangs in there with you. And then it says, whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. A bad friend repeats the matter. They keep bringing it up. They hammer you. They hammer you. They never give you any grace. And I think you can see how this can relate to a marital relationship as well. All right, another example Proverbs gives of a sinful friend would be Proverbs 22. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and yourself get ensnared. So it's saying a bad choice for a friend is a hot-tempered person. If someone has a really short wit, they're just, you know, at the drop of a hat, It's go time. I'll say this to our young ladies or ladies, don't date that person. Guys, if your friend is the one in traffic who's always losing it, he's declaring war on the world with his horn, giving, you know, everybody half a peace sign, if you know what I mean. You might want to think about hanging out with them less. Yeah, some of you got it. All right. But they're just always, you know, they're always upset. So you find yourself in always in that enabling kind of mediator position. Well, you know, he just had a bad day and his dad never hugged him and he really didn't mean to. If you're always in that position where you've got to make excuses, explain everything, that's when you need to reevaluate that friendship. There's also some painful friends. Proverbs 25:17. Seldom set foot in your neighbor's house, too much of you, and they will hate you. And I don't know how to explain this other than that's the clinging friend, the overbearing friend. The image that comes to mind to me is what, if you've seen the movie, What About Bob? And he's just always there. Okay, some of you got that. He's always there. He's never gone. These are friends that aren't evil, and they're not mean. They're just too much. You know, there's no boundaries there. If you make them your roommate, then you're finished. You have to either fake your death or move out because you're not getting away at that point. I can't return every email or every text or every phone call within 2 minutes. And if you texted me or emailed me and I didn't respond in 2 minutes, don't call me to say, did you get it? Yeah, I was going to the bathroom. I need a little bit of space. I just need a minute. So the problem is that they can become so demanding, you have to be rude. Just to kind of get your life back. Proverbs 25:19 says, "Oh, like a broken tooth or a lame foot is reliance on the unfaithful in time of trouble." So a friend is someone who is steady, someone you can depend on. If you can't depend on them, then it's like a broken tooth or a foot that slips, one translation read, or a lame foot. A painful friend is just one, when you need them, they're never there. You can't count on them for anything. And if you're going to be a friend, right, we're talking about not just choosing a friend, but how to be a friend, you need to be dependable. And if you're going to have a friend, they need to be dependable. It doesn't mean 100% of the time everything gets nailed down and nothing ever, you never forget anything. But it does mean when a crisis comes and you pick up the phone that they'll be there. Some of you might not even call people in a time of need. Some of the people that you would consider friends, you're not going to call them in a time of need because you know they're not going to follow through. So a friend needs to be reliable, not someone who just wants access to your life, but someone who wants to be helpful. All right, last type of painful friend that's listed in Proverbs 25:20 says, like one who takes a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar poured on a wound, is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. And this is hard, but there are some people who are always cheerful and upbeat, even when the situation doesn't call for it. And it can be church folks who have verses memorized and take them out of context so it sounds spiritual. You just got hit by a car. Well, praise God in all circumstances, at least it wasn't a truck. Yeah, but it hurts right now. Or somebody at midnight right after, maybe after the Tigers lost, trying to cheer you up right then. I don't want right then. The person always has to say happy things, always has to laugh, can never be serious. I mean, they're great to go to the game with, they're great to have over to watch a movie, they're great to go hunting with, but when you're having a rough day or a rough season, they tend not to be a lot of help. There are people you love to have fun with, but when you find out that, that your dad has cancer or your sister miscarries, you can't call them. Because the best thing they can give you is a bumper sticker, cliche Christian response, and not really enter into your pain or really listen to what you have to say. All right. Well, before we end, let's move on to some more uplifting categories, because there are devoted friends. Devoted friends. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loves at all time, and a brother is born for a time of adversity." A real devoted friend, when you need them the most, they're there. Some of you didn't know how strong your friends were until a time of crisis came. And then their commitment to you was just so amazing. Some of you, your strongest friendships were born out of a time of hurting or pain. Or you saw someone go through a time of pain and your heart got bigger for them. And you reached out in a way that cemented a friendship. And you know who you're really a friend to when their tough times come. You obey Paul's teaching to the early church, not only to rejoice with those who rejoice, but to mourn with those who mourn. And a friend weeps, and you feel it, and you go through it with them. Proverbs 18:24 says, "One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." You can have unreliable friends. You can have a lot, you can have a whole group of acquaintances, unreliable friends. You've probably heard this phrase before, that you ever been lonely in a crowd, you know, with people all around? You can have a lot of perceived friends, but there's only a handful of people that stick really close. You know, in 30 years, they're still going to be there. When the hard times come, they're going to be there. And I know some of you might be thinking, I don't know what you're talking about. I've got 100 friends. No, you don't. You don't have 100 friends. In 30 years, when your life gets tough and their life gets tough, you're going to be blessed to have a few. You'll be blessed to have a few. But there are devoted friends. And I have a few friends that I catch up with from time to time, and we've been friends for 20 years. Used to do a lot of things together, but now we don't. We understand that our lives are different. We don't have as much time together as we used to, but we understand. And they're not disrespectful friends. They're not demanding friends. Their life is full. My life is full. But we understand, and we still catch up with each other from time to time, and they stuck in there. And when things get really tough, you know, we're there for each other. Proverbs says, if you're able to have one, two, a few devoted friends, that's a real blessing. And you're actually doing better than a person with a whole bunch of companions that might be unreliable. And it's not bad to have lots of people you know. That's not a bad thing. But it's even better to have a few close friends. And finally, there are sanctifying friends. And these are great friends. This is a great proverb. Proverbs 27:6 says, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. We live in a culture where people proverbially kiss you, you know, speak nice about you, speak well of you, bless you, serve you, and you think they're a really good friend. But the person who rebukes me, the person who confronts me, who points out sin in my life, is honest with me, they aren't a very good friend. That's conventional thinking. Proverbs says that's foolish thinking. The person who's always kissing you, they might not be a friend. They might be a Judas, because Judas was the one who was kissing Jesus. That's not always a telltale sign. And a real friend is the one who wounds you. Now, they don't wound you to destroy you. They wound you to sanctify you. A wound is this, where a person with carefully chosen words points out sin in your life, or foolishness, or rebellion. You know, you know I love you, right? Yeah, I know you love me. Okay, well then, let me talk to you about something. You know, I see this in your character, and it needs to change. Or you need to grow up. Or maybe you need to mature. Or maybe you need to repent. Or you need to learn. Or you need to grow. Or you need to change. And at first, that hurts. It hurts. It stings. It feels like a wound. But, you know, it's like a doctor who pulls out a knife and cuts out cancer. You know, it's for your own good. It's for your survival. For your health. That's what a good friend does. If someone hurts your feelings, if someone confronts you, your first question should be, is this my friend? Is this my friend? And if it is, if they are, then I should really listen to them. Because they love me. And apparently they think this is a way of loving and serving me. A lot of times it's sort of this unwritten rule in relationships. I don't criticize you, and you don't criticize me. And that's how we get along. That is not the most biblical way to have a friendship. Occasionally, we have to wound one another. Not to destroy, not to devastate, but to heal. Proverbs 27:9 says, perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. A sanctifying friend is the one who will wound you, you know, put a mirror up to the things going on in your life, and give you counsel. A sanctifying friend will give wise counsel. And if they don't know the answer, you know, they're going to look in their Bible, or they're going to pray, or they're going to refer you to someone else if that's what's needed. And we want to be that kind of friend. One who's a good counselor. You know, you speak truthfully, honestly, you give good counsel, you listen, you'll pray. And the result of that is that they trust you, and it's for God's glory and your mutual good. And sadly, many that we call good friends are people that we would never go to for counsel. And if a person's always giving you bad advice, Maybe that's more of an acquaintance than a friend. You know, as a person, I get to interact with a lot of people over the years. I can tell you, a good friend is a rare treasure, and we need to recognize it, and we need to treasure it. And sometimes people fill lots of different lanes in our life. Amy is my wife, but she's also my friend. And she gives good counsel, and she wants what's best for me and for God's glory. And I try to do the same, and we don't always do it perfectly, but by God's grace, we're good friends to one another. So for these questions at the end, the five for the drive, this is something to have a discussion with your friends, with those that you would call friends. And if you're married, questions you need to have, you know, go over with your spouse. But the five questions would be, how is Jesus a real friend to you? You know, do you even see Jesus in that category of friendship? I mean, he certainly fits the definition, right, that we're going through. I mean, other than, you know, being a peer, but someone that is looking for, that gives us access and service and for God's glory, for our mutual good, as he initiates that friendship. Jesus is a friend. Jesus is alive. He's there to help you, to talk to you, to serve you. He's there for your good. Two, how can you be a better friend? And to who? What ways can you be a better friend? Who, if anyone, would you consider to be a good friend to you? And why? Who's really a friend? Why would you say that person is a friend? And if you're going through and you're thinking, as I was talking this morning, and you say, you know, I don't know if anyone really falls in that category. Don't you lose hope. Start praying. God, I need to be in fellowship. God, I want you to show me who I can be a friend to and who might be a friend to me. And just in light of what we talked about today, you know, what might be changing in your thinking regarding friendship? And then, number five, who do you need to reevaluate your friendship and who you need to pursue more intentionally? Who do you need to reach out to? You know, there are godly people who could be a friend, but you haven't invested in them. You haven't been intentional. And if you're a parent, it's something to talk about, with your kids about this too. Because it's such an important thing, especially at a young age. Let's pray, and we'll have the worship team come back up front. Heavenly Father, I just thank you again for your word. Thank you for Proverbs and the wisdom that it gives us. God, for your son, Jesus, the embodiment of that wisdom, help us to grow, to become more like him. Help us to become good friends. To choose good friends, but also for us to be a good friend and to fellowship together in Jesus' name.